Welcome to Semper Reformanda. I just asked John where he wants to start. He's like, I don't know, just bring us in. That's often how SR goes. It's pretty free form. I mean, we don't really script our regular episodes, right? We just kind of bullet point them and talk. But SR is even less scripted. So I don't know if that's a blessing to you or not, but there that is. Little
yeah. Little well, I want to start. I'll start
first
here.
Of all, let me thank the people, John. Let me thank the brothers and sisters who have partnered with us. We are really grateful for you. Theocast, you know, in the Lord's kindness is growing, and the listenership is growing. The membership is growing. We praise the Lord for all of that. And
I'm physically growing.
There that is. You do with that what you will. And yeah, but anyway,
my wife wishes that not to be.
Yeah. Sincerely though, we're appreciative of you and your partnership with us, and continue to spread the word and invite other people in and continue to share this message of rest in Christ. It's encouraging. And may we not always be defined by what we're against, but let's explain and show people how the Lord is good, help people taste and see, and bring them over. So, John, where do we want to go?
Most people should introduce themselves. Hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm against the world. And yet, the early believers, what did they get the title? Mini Christs. Hi, yeah. I'm a mini Christ.
Who are a part of the way. You know,
I'm a part of the way. This is the way.
So, I'm a Christian. I want to go ahead and start here, since you didn't tell me where you wanted to start, and since we're already talking this way. I think we should just, for a few minutes at least, before we pivot to anything else, talk to our people here. Talk to people who are either already in a confessional context, or are already thinking with a confessional mindset framework, or people who are making that transition and want to be confessional. People who are like, a guy said to me recently, like, bro, so what do I need to do? You know, in order to, I want to be confessional. Like, what do I need to do? I'm kind of joking about that. So that's who we're talking about right now and talking to. I meant what I said earlier in the regular show, that one of my concerns for us is that we not always be driven and motivated by controversy, and that we not always be driven and motivated by having an argument to win or people to persuade. And so again, don't misunderstand, it's not wrong to be worked up in your spirit over distortions of the gospel. We should be. It's not wrong to be worked up in your spirit when you see saints being robbed of rest and peace in Jesus. I mean, absolutely, that's a fuel, that's a motivator to say things, do things, write things, love others, right? Not discounting any of that. John and I are motivated by that. I mean, one of the things I think that drive us in our ministries respectively is that we want Christians to know the sufficiency of Christ for them so that they might know peace and rest, because we actually love the brethren. And I assume that's true of you. So I'm not saying that this is not a reasonable motivator at all, but I do think that the thing that needs to drive us is not what we're against. It's the thing that we're for. And the thing that we're for is the sufficiency of Christ for sinners. And so let's always just kind of have that in view, because we don't want to just be pugilists all the time, always fighting, always arguing, always shaming. That was the vocab word of the week. Pugilists. There it is. Yep. We don't want to be pugnacious, you know, in the ways that we go about living the Christian life.
I just want to know how many times you've used pugilist in your life.
A few. I don't know. Not that many.
It's good.
Really.
Yeah. I'm gonna use it today for the rest of my day. Hey, don't be pugilist.
But John, I think this makes sense, right? Like, this applies to the Facebook group, SR, the tavern, like, don't be
always help us in the Facebook group.
Fighting,
please.
Right? Like, that's not the point. And you don't want, a lot of people who make their way over to the confessional world have been burned and jaded by the church. True. But you don't want this to just become a situation where all we're doing is just casting shade and throwing blows at everything that we used to think Christianity was, and like hurting people who might still be in those spaces. Mm-hmm. We want to love, we want to be gentle, compassionate, kind, and we want to be driven by Christ and the beauty and the wonder of what he's accomplished for us. We don't want to be driven by argument and controversy. So I trust that's clear. John, riff on that at all. I think I'm done there, but
yeah. Well, it's a real thing. You see people who come back from the war in Iraq. And I mean, this is true of almost every generation, but people who've spent their entire career,
and they don't know what to do.
They don't know what to do because they've always been in fight mode. They always know who the enemy is, and everything is enemy. Right. And non, you know, they're always thinking, who's my combatants? Who am I fighting against? And the entire purpose of their life.
Even if you've got to make one up.
That's right. It's missional in that here's my mission. It's either protect or defend or annihilate. And when you don't have anything to do anymore, you don't know what to do with yourself yeah. because you created an entire world where that's the only way your brain can function. Yeah. And look, Justin and I, we like a good, you know, we like a good attack. We like a good enemy to go after. There's something that's self-righteous in that at times where if you're not careful, you're only doing it because you know you can stomp that person and prove them to be wrong.
Sure.
And, you know, one of the things...
Yeah, there's pride and satisfaction that we take in that. Sure.
Yeah. So someone made... My wife made a comment about me the other day about how sometimes the church can see me as being opposing their political views about vaccines and masks because I'm silent. Like, no agreement is the opposite of it, right? And a lot of times I'm silent in those areas because I don't know how to engage and it not be combative. And so I just don't engage because I don't want to be combative. I don't want to, you know, in many ways, I the opinions that I have are my own and they're not necessarily need to be put out in public because I'm a pastor and there are certain things I have to be careful about. That's a whole different conversation.
Well,
but go ahead.
I want to comment on that. But.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think there's pastoral wisdom in not speaking to a number of issues because one of the things that I think goes along with pastoral responsibility is there are things there are things that other people might do that you need to be thoughtful about doing or not doing because of the post you've been given by the Lord. Mm-hmm. And if you're in ministry, that is not your own personal platform to start talking about anything and everything that you might think is wise and good. Like you might have a number of convictions that you hold very dearly and close to you that have really nothing to do with Christ and the gospel and the doctrine of scripture. And you need to just kind of let those things be. And the people that know you really well may know those things about you, but it is probably not good that publicly your church would know if you're a pastor, what your political views are. It's probably not good that they would know what your thoughts are on COVID, what your thoughts are on the vaccine, what your thoughts are on this thing or that thing that does not directly pertain to doctrine taught in the scripture. Because last time I checked, what we're trying to cultivate in the church is unity around Christ. We may disagree about anything else and everything else, but we agree about him. And so pastors need to take that into consideration heavily if they're going to start speaking about other things. All right, off the soapbox, but like that matters. And I mean, do with that what you will too, even if you're not a pastor. Don't muddy the waters for goodness sakes by arguing about everything else.
That's right.
It's not helpful.
No, it's not. And that's, you know, one of the things, like if I'm a brain surgeon and I'm looking at you having a tumor in your brain and I'm talking about how I can best help you overcome some of these problems that you're going to have. And then I start giving you recommendations on what type of religion might best be beneficial for your brain. Whoa, I have just gone way outside my lane as a brain surgeon and dabbled into things that, you know, I think could have a application to whatever the recovery is of your, but that it's like, you can try and make an argument there, but we have to be just so careful because whoever has that tumor, they want to be healed by it. And they're going to pretty much listen to whatever you have to say. And many times Christians is the same here. And we're way offline. Anyway, let me get back to where we
take us back. We're getting back over in our lane. Here we go.
You know, when I have had the opportunity and will continue to engage with people who are deconstructing in many ways, when this is such a bad illustration, but it works. Sometimes when you are watching a bike crash and you try and go and help that person, you end up just both getting really messed up. You both end up just nosediving. And sometimes you kind of had just let the crash happen and be like, all right, I'm going to be there to pick up the pieces when this is done.
What you're saying is wise right now. Yeah. I affirm it.
It's like, all right, I'm going to let that go. And I've done this with my own kids. I'm like, all right, I'm going to let this play out. And then in the end, I'm going to be there to pick up the pieces and help them mend their wounds. And in many ways, sometimes what we do is we like use all this energy and we yell at them and we scream at them and it's really not changing the direction where they go. And they may even pick up pace, you know, pick up speed.
You may actually like repel them and propel them further away more quickly. I mean, what you're describing right now, John, is just generally a wise posture pastorally and in the church broadly, where we need to be patient, gentle, and kind with people, especially people who are struggling. People who are floundering, it's like, yeah, a lot of listening, a lot of just being there is probably what's required in the near term. Mm-hmm. And I think that's certainly true for people that are deconstructing the faith.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is where, okay, Semper Reformanda, always reforming. This is why what we do on this podcast matters. And there's a lot of things that Justin and I are trying to figure out with the busyness of having little children. And my children aren't so little anymore.
Pray for us, y'all.
Yeah. And then growing churches and just, you know, we're husbands. But one of the things that we are passionate about is how do we play our part in caring for the church at large, right? Yeah. We're caring for our own congregations. We're caring for our own families. But we have a passion and a desire to care for the church at large, God's yeah. congregation.
Well,
at
and
large.
The Lord has given us a platform in Theocast, which we want to steward well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things that I want this podcast to really start contemplating is, listen, the goal is not to dominate and make sure that everyone else dies and that, you know, whatever is that we're, the goal is that we mold and we draw people into Christ and that they may find rest in him. I have people in my church right now that they don't want rest in Christ. They honestly just want to be controversial. They're always just, it's so combative.
People are addicted to controversy, John.
Yeah. And, you know, in many ways I have to tell them like, hey, look, This is the hospital ward over here. People are trying to get healthy, and you know you're very unhealthy, and you just don't know it yet. You're just trying to pretend as if you're not carrying a disease, but you are. And you know it's hard in that not everyone is in the same place, and not everyone is on the journey. Like some people go, Justin. Some people go from like really bad church place theology, and then they are exposed to Reformed confessionalism, and it's just a simple transition. They're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's a lady in our church that was at Women's Bible Study last night talking to my wife about this. Her husband knows nothing. He did not grow up in church. Our church is like the first experience he's had of church. So he's just drinking it in, and it's just, he's just sapping it up, and there is no deconstructing going on. There's only filling him with Christ, and then we're removing just sin, right? Fill with Christ, remove sin. Fill with Christ, remove sin. Where a lot of the people in our church, it's like, how do I describe this? With having withdrawals. They're having withdrawals because their entire diet has been law and guilt and shame. And I'm coming in and bringing Christ and comfort and rest. And they're having withdrawals like, no, you need to be guilting me to do this stuff. And I'm like, no, I need to be giving you the love of Christ.
Right.
That's what constrains you. That's what motivates you. The love of Christ constrains you from sin and it motivates you to love. I don't need to give you guilt and shame. And they sit in my office and they're like, John, this feels wrong. And I'm like, that's because your entire diet has always been this. And when I look at people deconstructing, I want to put my arm around them and say, hey, I understand what you're abandoning. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, what you're walking away from is a lie. Yep. And it's not the truth. And let me show you the truth.
That's exactly right. What you're walking away from is a distortion.
That's right.
It's a misrepresentation of the real thing.
That's right.
And like I said earlier, dude, I can't prove this empirically, you know, or anything like that. So don't ask me to, you know, people out there. But I have never in my own experience had anybody say, you know, Justin, all these things that we treasure here at the church, Jesus, his sufficiency, his love, his gentleness, his compassion, the fact that he actually took upon himself flesh so that he could take upon himself all of the sins of all of his people of all time and satisfy for those, fulfill the penalty of the law for that, die the death I deserve, the fact that he fulfilled the law and accomplished righteousness and he conquered death. He conquered the one who has the power of death, namely the devil, right? He has conquered the fact that the law condemned me. Like I'm now free in Christ. It's not, nobody has ever looked at me and said, yeah, I want to leave him and I want to leave that, right? And so that's just a reminder for us all. Like let's keep the main thing the main thing. And then like you said, man, our job really is to say, yeah, I understand your strugglings. I understand your wrestlings. This life is difficult. Sin is real. Pain is real. There could be any number of reasons why you're struggling the way that you are, but let's talk about those, because, you know, Christ is for you, you know, and he is the only hope that sinners like us could ever have. You know, why would you go? Right. Where else would you go? He has the words of eternal life, you know? And I think that's the posture we want to have with one another.
I would even say, to add to that, God is not up there wringing his hands. Oh, I can't believe this famous person just walked away from me.
No.
You know, I can't believe these people are questioning me. He's not, he understands the problem. The problem is just bad pastors not doing their job and sure. denominations not doing their job. Let me just read this to you. This is based upon 2 Corinthians and Romans 8. This is our confession. So Justin and I are 1689ers. And sounds like we're 49ers.
That's to be a 1689er is a byword on Twitter.
Yeah, apparently.
Which is why Grace Reformed Network needs to be a thing.
Come on, man. This is on the providence of God in our confession 5.5.
One of the best paragraphs in the whole confession.
Probably if and when I get a tattoo, it'll probably just say 5.5. But anyways, the perfectly wise, righteous, and gracious God often allows his children for a time to experience a variety of temptations and the sinfulness of their own hearts. He does this to chastise them for their former sins or to make them aware of the hidden strengths of the corruption and deceitfulness of their hearts so that they may be humbled. Man, that is so powerful. In many ways,
deconstruction. And he uses it as a deterrent toward future sin as well. There's other things.
Well, I'll finish the paragraph in a minute, but the deconstructing, and I say this with so much compassion, is so arrogant.
Yeah.
What they are doing is just showing how arrogant they truly are and questioning God and his word.
How blind, myopic, short-sighted. Mm. Yeah.
He also does this to lead them to a closer and more consistent dependence on him to sustain them, to make them more cautious about all future circumstances that may lead to sin and for other just and holy purposes. So whatever happens to any of his elect happens by his appointment for his glory and for their good.
Yeah.
In many ways, when I watch people do this, you know, it's this whole thing. Well, they went out from among us because they never were of us. And I understand that sentiment. There are people who do walk away from the faith and they never truly were believers. They may have grown up in the system, but this whole thing. And look, I think there are people who are deconstructing that probably never were Christians. You know, you see a lot of Christian musicians. Listen, I have friends who are in the real high level pop culture. I mean, they played, you name the big artist, they've played with them. And he says, it's just a joke. That whole scene, the way they act on the stage is not how they act. And I'm not saying this about every Christian author or musician, but he's like, he had to get out of it. And he now plays for a country artist. And his point was, at least they're consistent. How they act on the stage is how they act off the stage. But that is not true about Christians. It was really sad. And a lot of people get hung up in and become very famous Christians. And a lot of that fame is not built upon their theology. It's built upon something outside of the church, whether it's entertainment, music, you know, whatever. So that's all I got, man.
Yeah, I think it's good for today. I think we've done about all we can do. Continue to trust Christ and love one another, saints.
Well, a couple of things. Hopefully by now we have rebranded our
books.
See,
John, you told me
books.
You were done and you're not done. Oh, my gosh.
Giving updates.
Pump fake.
Updates. Let me just give the updates. So we have Theocast Vintage. The Vintage series. We've got Rest, which is an intro on faith versus faithfulness. We have
theology.
Safe. We have Safe.
On Assurance.
Which is Introduction to the Doctrine of Assurance. We have Reformed.
We're working coming. On it.
It's coming. It's on my whiteboard, which means it's made further progress. If it made it to my whiteboard, it's making progress.
There it is.
Anyways, we got more coming and redesigned Theocast. So that's probably even out by now. Who knows? But new logo with new merch. So stay tuned for all of that.
It's exciting.
And I know everybody, there's going to be people who love the new logo. There's going to be people who hate. This is what I've determined, Justin. As I get older and both ministries get larger, you cannot in any way, shape, or form. Please, any, please everybody. So
no, you're entirely right, man. Can't please everyone. Some people will not like it, though the feedback we've gotten is overwhelmingly positive. I think almost exclusively so. So don't be one of the haters out there when the new logo and the new branding comes out. All that to say,
take us home, brother.
All that to say, like I said a minute ago, keep trusting Christ, keep loving one another. We thank you for your support, for your love, for your affection, for your emails, for your voicemails, all that stuff. Keep those things coming our way. We respond as we can. We do read them. So thank you for that. We do care for you guys and look forward to what the Lord has for the future. That's it. Holler. Peace.